sight, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Please be seated. Before I begin, I want to do a special thanks for Anna. I have had a horrible cold and asthma all week, and I just realized after the 8 o'clock service there was no way I was going to be able to talk the 10:30 through. And she literally ran from Gethsemane after their 9 o'clock service this morning to preside at the 10:30. So in my head, I hear Marlena Dietrich speaking. I don't know what you hear, but colleagues are fantastic. Thank you, Anna. Now have a nice glass of water and rest. This week, and for the next few more days, this past week, Episcopalians have taken over Austin, Texas, for the 79th General Convention of the Episcopal Church of America, and things are happening. Everything from daily prayer to recovery meetings to the National Altar Guild meeting to delegate meetings to deputy discussions to UTO grant announcements to the Latino Caucus gathering, daily yoga body prayer, the Liberian Episcopal Community in America gathering for the year, the Standing Commission on Liturgy and Music is meeting on renewing our hymnal and devotional music. The Absalom Jones Center for Racial Healing is having daily conversation and prayer. There are eco-justice and solar power tours in Texas. Peace and reconciliation prayer groups are meeting. The Episcopal Relief and Development Office, they're having their meetings. Bishops Against Gun Violence gatherings. There is a huge youth presence there. There was an Episcopal revival service held last night with thousands in attendance. And on Friday, there was the first Episcopal Eucharist done outside of Alaska, spoken entirely in the Gwich'in language, which is the language of the interior indigenous peoples of Alaska, and much, much more. These people who belong to the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement, these people, the offspring of the founders of the United States of America and the Revolutionary War radicals who wanted a church without a king. These people who consider their theology akin to a three-legged stool, scripture, history, and reason. These people, immigrants, natives, young, old, northern opinions, southern opinions, eastern and western coastal opinions, are all following and finding common ground. And one of the common grounds they are talking about and praying about, and I am sure they are arguing about, is language. Language, for example, our New Testament reading for today, 2 Corinthians, was so confusing to me that I read it in three different translations before it started making any sense. Language. It absolutely makes a difference. Let's take the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is one piece of scripture that old and young alike seem to have deep in the recesses of their brains. I can ask little children to repeat this scripture with me, and they know it by heart. Elders who may not be able to recognize their own children any longer because they are deeply lost in dementia know this piece of scripture. It is deep in their soul. They often mouth the words perfectly as I recite this beautiful piece of language to them, with them in hospital rooms and in hospice. And scripture, it is. The Lord's Prayer is found in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. language. I offer you Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 12, King James Version. Remember that our beloved original Book of Common Prayer is based on the English language of the 1600s, the King James period. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Excuse me. Now, I offer you Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. In the New Revised Standard Version, which is more modern, and the language used for the translation our beloved present-day BCP is written in. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to... The original Greek version of this scripture did not have the doxology, but it was added by the writers of the King James Version, and we Episcopalians continue to add it, both in the 1928 prayer book and in the present version of our prayer book. And so the Lord's Prayer often concludes with, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." For those of you who might be BCP nerds, you will find the Lord's Prayer without the doxology in different offices throughout the BCP, like the Noonday Prayer Office. So now that you think I'm quite bonkers and bringing you down some weird history path, I offer you this version of the Lord's Prayer, written in 1999 by J. Manny Santiago and offered for use by the Black Church Movement for gay and transgender justice. Our parent, who is among us, blessed be your creation. May your reign be a reality here on earth. May we become more interested in building your kingdom here and now than in waiting for it to come down from above. Let us share our bread with those who are hungry. Let us learn to forgive as well as to receive forgiveness. Help us through the time of temptation. Deliver us from all evil. For ours are the eternal blessings that you pour upon this earth. Amen. Three translations, same stuff. What translation is best for you? Which one do you personally need to hear? And the answer to that really depends on who you are at a particular time, what resonates in your soul, in your heart, in your mind, and where your spirit is taking you. The Standing Commission on Liturgy and Music, which is meeting at General Convention and does so in between convention years, is tasked at developing resolutions that would allow for revision of the Book of Common Prayer. The revision would be to utilize more inclusive and expansive language and imagery and or develop materials to aid local dioceses, congregations, faith communities, seminaries, and school, quote-unquote, for deeper engagement in the use of the prayer book as an instrument for spiritual formation for the whole people of God. Spoiler alert. It passed last night. Some of you are not clapping. I'm clapping, and I'll continue to explain why. And do not come to me and ask me when we're going to change the prayer book in this building, because we're not going to be doing it probably for a little more longer. But it passed last night, and I think that's exceptional. So just like our brothers and sisters who worship at Holy Apostles Episcopal Church in St. Paul with their BCP, which has been translated into the Hmong language with culture and imagery considered in that translation, or with the Gwich'in BCP utilized in the interior of Alaska, we are all people created in the image of the Creator God. the mother, the father, the higher power, the eternal spirit. We are all one. And to hear the Lord's Prayer in a language that makes me feel appreciated and loved, and that I understand that language, that is a gift. And it should be a given. And it should be a goal for all of us to appreciate. Our presiding bishop, Bishop Michael Curry, in his sermon at the opening Eucharist of General Convention on July 5th, encouraged all Episcopalians to adopt a rule of life. The rule he preached on is a somewhat more modern offering called the Way of Love. And it is based on the beautiful rule of life offered to us centuries ago by our beloved Saint Benedict of Nursia, whose life we will be celebrating on his feast day this coming Wednesday. Now, I'm channeling Father John Ritker, who loves to hand out homework. And so you will notice that your bulletin, of course, got larger, but this is the rule of life that I hope that you will bring home, read, look at, and digest. The seven practices Bishop Curry preached on providing a rule of life that all Episcopalians are encouraged to adopt include turn. Like the disciples, we are called by Jesus to follow the way of love. With God's help, we can turn from the powers of sin, hatred, fear, injustice, and oppression toward the way of truth, love, hope, justice, and freedom. In turning, we reorient our lives to Jesus Christ, falling in love again and again and again. Learn by reading and reflecting on Scripture, especially the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. We draw near to God, and God's Word dwells in us. When we open our minds and hearts to Scripture, we learn to see God's story and our story in everyday life. Pray. Jesus teaches us to come before God with humble hearts, boldly offering our thanksgiving and concerns to God, or simply listening for God's voice. Worship. When we worship, we gather with others before God. People that we have not known before, our family. We hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We give thanks, we confess, and we offer the brokenness of the world to God. As we bake bread, our eyes are open to the presence of the church around us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are made one body, and we are able to go out into the world and follow the way of love. Bless. Jesus called his disciples to give, forgive, teach, and heal in his name. We are empowered by the Spirit to bless everyone we meet, practicing generosity and compassion and proclaiming the good news of God and Christ. Go. As Jesus went to the highways and byways, he sends us beyond our circles of comfort to witness the love, justice, and truth of God. With our own lips and with our own lives. And rest. From the beginning of creation, God has established the sacred patterns of going and returning, labor and rest. Especially today, on our Sabbath day, God invites us to dedicate time for restoration and wholeness. In this busy world where most of us think we cannot even find 5 extra minutes to whatever it might be that you need to do, do I expect us all to now spend an hour each day involving themselves with this rule of life? No. but perhaps on your bus ride or during your coffee, you will think about these things. You will come together within your own soul and your spirit and pray and turn and go. To throw yourself, to throw ourselves, our whole selves, into the arms of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus understands us. He understands our needs, our fears, our questions. Jesus wants us to know God's love, to be loved by others, to love others. Jesus speaks our language. At both entrances or exits, depending on how you look at them, I've actually placed four different examples of Lord's Prayer, including the original Greek, for those of you who read Greek or would like to look at it. So feel free to pick them up on your way out if you would like to add to your homework. I'd like to close and leave you with the Maori translation of the Lord's Prayer from the New Zealand Book of Common Prayer. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven. The hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the people of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and testing, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.